precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, by my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
Good singing, Brother Ramon. Will you open us in a word of prayer? Now's the time to raise your hand. Miss Jessica, for the third time. What's your song? 319. We're going to be singing this one later on. You sure you don't have a different favorite song? Any husbands that know their wife's favorite song, now's the time to come forward and raise your hand. Brother Blake.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus,
verse 3. Second time. 261, page 261. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. On the third. Page 261, on the third. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. Sarah?
216.
Page 216. Surely goodness and mercy, page 216. Page 216, sing it out on the first.
A pilgrim was I and a wandering. In the cold night of sin I did roam. Jesus, the kind shepherd, found me, and now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I shall feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life.
Miss Bobby?
217.
217. Okay, page 217, he included me. Page 217, seat out on the first.
I am so happy in Christ today that I go singing along my way. Yes, I'm so happy to know and say Jesus included me too. Jesus included me. Yes, he included me. Lord said, whosoever he included me, Jesus included me. Yes, he included me. When the Lord said, whosoever he included me.
Miss Stephanie, 149. Page 149. Trusting Jesus, page 149. Sing it out on the first.
Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all, trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all.
Last one, Miss Sheila. Page 397 on the fourth. Page 397, sing it out on the last verse.
When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, he will say to all the faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name.
Welcome to Assure Foundation Baptist Church for our evening service. If you will grab your bulletins, and if you don't have one, raise your hand and the usher will bring you one. All right, and if you look on the cover, we got a verse of the week. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 27. And then if you open up to the first page, you'll see our service time. Sunday morning service was at 10:30 this morning. We are in our Sunday evening service at 3:30 p.m. And then our Thursday evening Bible study is at 6:30 p.m. And we're going through Corinthians. And then you'll see our soul winning times listed below that. And today we had soul winning at 1 o'clock. Did we have any salvations today? I see one, two. Amen. It's two more than last week. Praise God. So we can add two to our salvation or our praise report for salvations for May right there. And then on the next page, we have our kids' Spanish class this Tuesday at 6 p.m. And then obviously, today is Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day, mothers. Hope you all had a wonderful day and maybe even some more special plans after service tonight. And then May 11th, we got men's leadership class.
If that's Tuesday, we're going to have to change that. Somebody mentioned that.
All right, that is up in the air at this moment for further info.
Wednesday the 12th.
Okay, it's going to be Wednesday the 12th for men's preaching class. And then May 16th, we got men's preaching night. I'm sure we'll have plenty of men preaching. And then May 17th through the 22nd is our Yakima soul winning trip. We got everything booked and ready to go for that. So amen there. And then May 31st to June 7th, we got the Hawaii missions trip. So sign up and grab your airfares now. Everybody, I hear everything's cheap. So June 6th, we have our second men's preaching night because Pastor's going to be in Hawaii. And then July 15th through the 18th, we got the Red Hot Preaching Conference at Verity Baptist Church in Sacramento. Looking forward to that for sure. And then July 30th through August 1st, we got our three-year anniversary and in our grand reopening. And Pastor Bruce Mejia is going to be preaching that Friday night at 7 p.m. Then we'll have a soul winning marathon on Saturday from 10:30 to 12:30. Lunch provided by the church, and then 1 to 2 p.m. at the building will be the lunch, and then 2 p.m. to 4:30 will be the second soul winning session. Sunday night, we will have another men's preaching night. And then, of course, we're a family-integrated church. Children and infants always welcome, and follow coronavirus rules, no handshakes, hugging, kissing, stuff like that. And, you know, just if you're sick, don't come to church still. And then on the back, we have our birthdays and anniversaries, and we already sang Jack happy birthday, so we'll sing one more song and take our offering.
If you'll turn to page 314. Page 314. More love to thee. Page 314. Sing it out on the first verse.
More love to thee, O Christ. More love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea. More love, O Christ, to thee. More love to thee. More love to thee. Once earthly joy I craved, and rest. Now thee alone I seek, give what is best. This all my prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee. More love to thee. More love to thee. Let sorrow do its work, send grief and pain. Sweet are thy messengers, sweet their refrain. When they can sing with me, more love, O Christ, to thee. More love to thee. To thee, then shall my latest breath whisper thy praise. This be the parting cry my heart shall raise. This still its prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee. More love to thee, more love to thee.
Good singing, Brother Sean. Will you bless the offering?
Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Proverbs 29. Book of Proverbs, chapter 29. The Bible reads, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. The king by judgment establisheth the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. In the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. If a ruler hearken unto lies, all his servants are wicked. The poor and the deceitful man meet together. The Lord lighteneth both their eyes. The king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever. The rod and the reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. A servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at the length. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. He heareth cursing and bewrayeth it not. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked." Brother Blake, would you pray for us?
Amen. All right, well, I'm going to have a part two to my sermon from this morning, Great Attributes of Mothers in the Bible. And so to recap the first sermon, which was pretty short, the first sermon, I talked about Eve being willing to have children, how great that is, that, you know, obviously she decided to carry on the human race because she knew it was going to be painful. And Eve was willing to have more children after failing with one. And then Sarah was willing to breastfeed, and all godly women should do that if they possibly can. So I realize that that's not always possible. But the other thing I talked about is how the world is against the family. And it's getting worse and worse. I read you about that idiot on Twitter that was basically saying that we need to get rid of Mother's Day and just have motherhood or something called Motherhood Day or something like that. And look, we have Mother's Day once a year, and I don't think there's anything wrong with celebrating good, godly mothers. So, and then if you have a mother that hopefully you gave her a call today, and if your mom's still around, that's a good thing to do. And also, husbands, if you have your wife has children here, that you should definitely appreciate her for all that she does. And one thing that I should mention also is that, you know, as godly women in this, there's a lot of godly women in this church, and there's a lot of godly men in this church, and you know, I don't think women get enough credit sometimes, and I think that we need to make sure that we're definitely lifting them up and praising them for the things that they do as wives and as mothers. And it is a lot harder to be a Christian wife than it is to be just a regular wife out in the world. Yeah. So, you know, the fact that they're skirts and dresses only, hey, you know, there's not every woman's going to follow you like that. You know, so be thankful that you have a good godly wife that wants to dress modestly and a wife that will take her children out soul winning with them. You know, there's churches, you know, that won't do that, where the men just go out soul winning. It's only kind of like a man thing. And it shouldn't be that way, or you have to take turns. But all of our children in our church go soul winning. That's because, you know, we have, you know, obviously we have godly dads here, but godly mothers that are willing to take their children out. And it's hard to it's like, you know, wrangling cats or whatever, trying to get them out the door. You know, but it teaches them to go soul winning. And that's important, because what are we trying to do? We're trying to pass things on to the next generation. As mothers in our church, it's very important that we pass these traditions and, you know, salvation on to our children. And so they can see what a true Christian is supposed to be like. You know, and obviously we're not all perfect, I get that, but I think that women deserve far more praise, especially godly women, for the things that they do in this church and as mothers. So anyway, so let's look at Proverbs chapter 29 in our text. In verse number 15, the Bible says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." So obviously this scripture is very important, and it's saying, hey, don't leave your children to themselves to do whatever they want, you know, because what's going to be the end of that? It's going to bring the mother to shame, and that's something that we don't want, all right? And so this might be the spiciest part of the sermon, where it's kind of more challenging to the ladies, because let's just be honest, it's harder for ladies to spank and discipline than it is for men. Obviously, the men will just whoop them and it'll be over. But ladies have a lot harder time with that. And it's not something that you should just leave up to your husband, ladies. Mothers need to be able to reprove and give wisdom to their children, but also the rod. It says the rod and reproof give wisdom. So what is the wisdom that they get from the rod? Well, it corrects them from doing something wrong. And so we need to do that in our homes, and not just when dad's home or not just when you're at church, but also at home when it's just you and your children, you know, when you're giving them chance after chance after chance after chance. If you do it one more time, you do it one more time, and then it never happens, you know. If you just spank them and get it over with, everything, they cry, you give them a hug, you tell them you love them, don't do it again, they say, I'm sorry, mommy, and then it's all good. But like, for some reason, it's just hard for ladies to do that, and I just want to encourage you to do that. And you're like, you're encouraging me to spank my child? Yes, I am, because it's for your own good, and it's for the good of your child. Because what I was talking about earlier in the first sermon is that, you know, the danger of having too many children is that if you don't know how to, you know, to control and train your children correctly, or, you know, you start getting 6-7 kids deep, and it gets harder. So, you know, and so you have to be able to maintain control of your children when your husband's not home, when he's at work or whatever, and that can be hard as a one mom with 6 or 7 kids or whatever, or 10 kids or 19 kids or whatever it is. You know, even one kid can be hard, but it's not as hard as having four. It's not as hard, you know, but you have to be able to navigate that. And do your children listen to you? Are your children, if they listen to the sound of your voice, do they stop? You know, if they're about to run out in the middle of the road and you say, stop, do they stop? Or do they just keep going, and run into the street? I mean, it's a true test. How old should you start to correct your children? Because I know that this is a controversial topic, but I believe that the Bible says that you're supposed to chasten them B times, right? And look, I'm not saying give a whooping to a 3-month-old baby, okay? But let's just go, because I've heard this teaching amongst even our own independent fundamental Baptist friends of 2 years old is where you start correcting them. But listen to me. At 2 years old, they've already got the rebellion going.
Yeah.
If you've never corrected your child until they're 2 years old, you've got a tough road to hoe.
Yeah.
Seriously. And think about this. Spanking is not just a discipline thing only. It's also a safety thing. Because, and I'm not going to say who it was. I don't want to embarrass anybody or anything like that. But a couple weeks ago, some kids went to go out with their parents, with their mom. And one of the kids, like, started going right toward the street. And, like, I just said, stop! Like, really loud, like that. And he, like, stopped dead in his tracks. That's good. You know, maybe it freaked him out. I don't know. But hey, you know, kids can get away from you. And kids, you know, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But for safety reasons, do your children stop when you tell them to stop? Because if they don't, then maybe correction needs to start sooner than what you've already thought. And look, I'm not going to tell you what you have to do. What is the right age? Well, if your child can walk, then they start to be able to run, right? And sometimes they're faster than you think that they are. And they can get away from you. And if you already have another kid in your hand or you got a bunch of stuff that you're carrying, they can get away from you that fast. But will they stop when you tell them to stop? Because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, isn't it? So what is the picture for parents when we correct our children? Aren't we supposed to be correcting them so that they will fear us and keep our commandments too? So if they already are afraid to run away from you because they know what's going to happen if they do, and obviously kids will challenge you. They'll be defiant with you. They'll be like, you'll spank them and they'll just stand up to you sometimes. Every kid's different. Like, I always say that, like, I hardly ever had to spank Nia because she was just like an angel child, but I did have to spank her sometimes. But, like, compared to Remy, I mean, it was no contest. I mean, Remy's gotten far more spankings than he has ever gotten. But every kid's different. You know, I could just raise my voice to Nia and she would just be like, oh. So, but Remy, he was a little more defiant. And I remember saying this, like, before Remy could even, you know, I think it was before he was even born, I was saying, like, if my kid's dumb enough to run out in the street and get killed, then that's his own fault. The words of an unsaved idiot father, right? But then when you actually, you know, when they can actually start to run, then you realize that they're going to run away from you. And if they won't listen to the sound of your voice because they're afraid, then you got a problem on your hands. And so what is the right age to start spanking? Well, and look, I'm not talking about beating them with a steel pipe or something. I'm talking about a little rod of correction. And just a little switch can change their attitude. Just a little spank, you know, the rod of reproof to the seat of correction, right? The back, you know, that pad back there that's the biggest muscle in your body, you know, it stings. And so there's nothing wrong with stinging some. If it's a safety issue, don't you think it's important to make sure that your kids aren't going to run away?
Yeah.
Can you stop? Are you fast enough? Like, there's some 2-year-olds out there that can book it. You know, and there's some 1-year-olds out there that can book it. So you know how fast they are. That's why we're always talking about, you know, making sure the gates are closed, because they go right for stuff, you know. So look at Proverbs, we're here in Proverbs 29:15. Look, the rod and reproof give wisdom. And ladies, you're not, it's not just dad's job to do that. It's the mom's job to make sure to give that rod of reproof and that wisdom, the correction and the wisdom that it brings. Look at verse 19 or verse 17. It says, correct thy son and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. When your kids are younger, that's when you have to spank more, okay? But when they get older, then they turn normal. Like Remy, now he's a good kid. You know, he was a spaz for a while, but he was misunderstood. Okay, He was just a little more rambunctious than other kids were. He was always a good kid, but he just, sometimes he just, you know, had to catch one. But anyway, but, you know, do your kids listen to you? Because that's the key. Like, if you want all seven of your kids to follow you around and listen to what you say, and obviously, again, kids are, the foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but, you know, the rod and reproof is going to drive that rebellious spirit far from them. And hey, some kids you have to spank more than others, and some kids you have to spank a little harder than others. But I'm not going to tell you what age you need to spank your kid, because obviously that's your house. I'm not going to go into your house and say, hey, you need to have this kind of switch, it needs to be this long, or whatever. I'm not trying to meddle here. I'm just trying to say that, like, if you wait till they're two, you've already got a problem on your hands. It's called a monster problem, you know? And you don't want your kids to be, you know, little monsters. You want them to be good, godly kids that listen. But if you never spank them, then they're going to walk all over you. They're going to train you. I talked about this last week. They'll train you. You're not training them. You know, when they scream, they know mommy's going to pick me up and take me out of the service. So that's just something that you have to learn to correct them with, or they're just going to do it to you until you make them stop. So, and, you know, I've talked about this before, too. If a kid is hitting you, like, obviously you don't want your children to hit you. And guys, we think it's funny when our kids headbutt us or whatever, right? Remy used to do that to me until he bashed me in the nose one time and really got me good. But then it wasn't so much fun anymore. It was like, oh, it's so cute. He's just like, then he was like, boom, and hit me right in the nose. I was like, oh, eyes are watering. So, but we don't want our kids to hit us. But how would you stop them from doing that? Well, little babies will scratch you, won't they? They get them little Freddy Krueger claws, and they can cut through anything with them. But but how do you stop them? You just restrain them. Is a baby stronger than you? You just grab their hands and say no. You know, I mean, that's kind of where it begins, the training. Turn to Proverbs 23, verse 13. So the first point is that, you know, we talk about the Proverbs 31 woman, right? Well, what about the Proverbs 29 mother? The Proverbs 29 mother, it says the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And you want to be a Proverbs 29 mother where you're making sure that you use the rod and reproof to give their wisdom. Look at verse 13 in Proverbs 23. It says, withhold not correction from the child. So we're not supposed to withhold it. We do correct them. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. And look, it's both parents' responsibility. Amen. And I just want to encourage you to, you know, because there is a shaming with spanking too, to the point where it's really not wise to spank children out in public anymore, is it? Because, I mean, did you see about that teacher? Like, it was some teacher spanked somebody's kid or something at school, and there's no, you're not supposed to do that in that county in Florida or whatever. It's like, well, maybe mom should have spanked them, and then the principal wouldn't have had to. But we're trying to deliver their soul from hell, and hey, if you spank them with the rod, that's going to show them, hey, if my parents are spanking me and showing me that there's an accountability to God also. Right. And if we're saved as children, if you're saved as a child in here, then that should teach you also that God will also spank you if you're his child, right? So we want to deliver those children from hell, amen? Look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. Look at Proverbs 13, 24. And you're saying, well, Pastor Thompson, I don't really agree with you. I think it's my husband's job to do that. And, you know, and I'm going to wait till they're like five before I give them their first spanking or whatever. Well, you know, you're going to have a rough road. You're going to have a rocky life, and it's going to be miserable, and your kids, you know, when none of your kids will obey you, unless your husband's home, you're going to have a miserable time at home too. And don't you want that time to be precious and look back on that time and just think, hey, you know, yeah, it was rough sometimes, but, you know, at least my children obeyed me, and, you know, they learned, and instead of them driving you crazy all the time and just trying to give them Benadryl for their naps every night so they'll go to sleep. What's wrong with the kids, honey? Oh, nothing. I'm just kidding. I know nobody does that, but I mean, I know that people do that, but hopefully nobody in here would do that. Amen. All right. So, listen. So, spanking is a safety thing as well as a discipline thing. So, it's discipline first. It's correction first, but it's also for safety because if they won't listen to the sound of your voice, then it could be a safety issue for you. They could run out into the street and not listen to you. And it's like, well, I wanted to wait till they were 2 years old. Well, what about when they're one and they can run right out into the street? What are you going to do then? So, anyway, Proverbs 13, verse 24 says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. And that, again, that word betimes means early on, right? And I'm not saying like one day old, whoosh. You know, the doctor, I think, spanks them when they come out. They used to do that. I don't know if they do anymore. But the Bible is saying, if you don't spank your children, what does it say? He that spareth his rod hateth his son. So if you don't love your kids, well, don't spank them then. And it just shows that you don't if you won't. Because if you do love them, then you'll spank them and correct them. And it says chasteneth. Chastening isn't something that's supposed to be a pleasurable experience. And look, you know, if you're going to spank them, make it count. If they're not crying, if they're laughing after you do it, then you didn't do it good. You didn't do it right. If they're going, ha, 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 what's the point? I mean, it did nothing. So if they don't have tears rolling down their cheeks, then you didn't do it good enough. So you need to actually make it count. If they just think it's a threat every time and they're really not going to, everyone is like a measured one. Well, this one doesn't really deserve it. It's just like a, oh, so you can show everybody else in the church that you spanked your kid, but they didn't really cry or, get upset. So we need to make sure it counts. So chasteneth them betimes. Don't spare the rod or it shows that you hate your kid, period. So let's see, Proverbs or Psalm chapter 23, verse 4. Let's look at Psalm chapter 23, verse 4. This is a very famous psalm, Psalm chapter 23, verse 4. And this is David. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Isn't that a strange thing to say? Like, who would think that a rod would comfort somebody? Because, the rod, but obviously God is leading his sheep along, and I think that that's the picture that it's showing here. But that's what a staff does, but a rod is something that you would hit somebody with, right? So when God corrects us, it does comfort us in a way. And it's just like when you spank your kid, for some reason it just restores that fellowship with them. They're sorry, and like they act better. I don't know, it's just like, it's just God's way of showing us that what he says is the right thing to do. Amen. So thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So when we got God with us, he's going to punish us sometimes too, but that should be a comfort to us knowing that we're children of God. Right. And it should be a comfort to your children knowing that you love them. They might not understand all the time, especially when they get older and you spank them, then they start thinking on their own a little more outside the box, a little more rebellious. And they're like, they don't understand things that you do. But later on when they're older, they will understand. So regardless of what they say, the rod bringeth reproof. The rod is the thing that we're supposed to use for correction, and we're supposed to chasten them betimes. That means early on, because when they're older, you're not going to have to do it as much. So get it out of the way early. I know that they have cute little innocent faces that you're like, oh, I just can't, I don't believe that they would lie to me. They'll lie. And when they lie, you should spank them. Amen. Because, I always say that if it's one of the Ten Commandments, that you should spank them over it. But there also is times of mercy and grace that we give our kids. And that also shows the long-suffering and mercy of God. So I believe if you can train, there's times when you can just say, okay, well, you know what? This is a bad sin, but I'm going to, I'm not going to beat you this time, but next time you're going to get it. Look at, or think about John 10:27. If you want to look at it real quick, you can. But I talked about how your children need to be able to hear your voice as you say, hey, stop, or don't do that, don't touch that. You know, if they're playing with matches, they're going to get burned. But we're supposed to be leading our children along just like God leads his children along, right? Look what it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they what? They follow me. So your children should also, in the same way that we follow, are supposed to follow Christ, and we hear his voice, we hear the voice of the shepherd, don't you think our children should hear our voices also? Absolutely, they should, and they should follow us. So moms, I mean, I know I'm belaboring this first point, but it's important because I just, you know, and I'm not doing it because I want to get on to you or something. I want to help, you know. And so if you're struggling in this area, then just find comfort in the Word of God that even if it's hard for you, which it is, even if it's hard for you, do it because God said to do it. In Proverbs 9:9, it says, give instruction to a wise man and he will yet be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding, for by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. So just like we would fear the Lord, and that's the beginning of wisdom, when our children, what, they begin to, they fear us, and that's the beginning of wisdom for them also. You see how it's basically kind of the same thing. It's a picture of the same thing. And so when we're newly saved, when we're babes in Christ, you know, it takes the milk of the word. But the first thing is that we need to learn to fear God. And if we don't fear God, then we're not going to keep his commandments. And we're going to screw up all the time. And we're going to get in trouble. We're going to get spanked. So it's the same thing with your kids. They should learn to fear you. And you're like, oh, you want my kids to fear me? Well, when you walk up, they shouldn't go, you know, every time. You know, but sometimes kids do that. Like, if they've been getting spanked a lot, they get some PTSD or whatever. But I was like, hey, chill. I'm not going to hit you. No. So, and I'll just say this. Take the advice of proven parents. Amen. Take the advice of proven parents because my kids are all grown up and they're all still serving the Lord. And guess what? I spanked them. I spanked them early. And their mom spanked them early. So it's important for us to understand that, hey, if someone's a proven parent and their kids grew up good and they're still serving the Lord, then why wouldn't you take their advice? Right. But I'm saying this, don't wait till they're 2 years old to start correcting them. Yeah. Because if you do, then you're going to have a harder time raising them. Start correcting them early. Be times. All right? So anyway, and so number two tonight, allow God to open your womb. Allow God to open your womb. Hannah allowed God to open her womb. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10. It's the story of Hannah and her son Samuel. But some people have a hard time getting pregnant. And there's, for whatever reason, it's just how it is. But in the Bible, it's also a big theme. A lot of godly women in the Bible had a hard time, getting pregnant. And so, but what was the thing that always seemed to work? If you think about every time, what is it? Prayer, right? Going to the Lord earnestly in prayer. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10. It says, and she was in bitterness of her soul and prayed, this is talking about Hannah, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. So, you know, you're like, well, what am I going to do? How am I going to get pregnant? Well, first of all, go to the Lord in prayer. If you're having a hard time getting pregnant, well, pray to God. And it says she wept sore because she had somebody mocking her about it. Isn't that funny? You won't see that today because we got the opposite mentality. Look at verse 11. It says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And so she's vowing this vow, and obviously vowing vows, I mean, unless you plan on keeping it, you shouldn't do it, right? But she planned on keeping it, and she did keep her vow. But look at verse 12, it says, and it came to pass that she continued praying before the Lord, and Eli marked her mouth. So she's at the house of the Lord, Eli the priest sees her, And he thinks that she's wasted. Look what it says in verse 13. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunk and put away thy wine from thee? And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. So what are the keys here? What do you see here? How is God going to open your womb? Well, you know, go to him in prayer. Weep sore. And, you know, she really was serious. And it said that she went year to year when her husband went to make his offerings. And then his other wife would mock her about it. But look at verse 16. It says, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. So Eli, who was the high priest at that time, you know, he said, hey, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition. But we have another high priest right now, don't we? And the high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ, who ever liveth to intercede for us. And so he is there to answer, to take our prayers to the Father. And so we pray in Jesus' name to God the Father and ask him for our petitions. And if you're having a hard time, you know, then God opened up Sarah's womb after she was in her 90s. So, I mean, there's nothing impossible for God. So you might think it's impossible. And I'm not saying don't ever, like, seek medical help or something. But if they're trying to get you to do, like, in vitro and all this other stuff, I would say that's probably not a good route to go. But as far as, like, you getting pregnant, I mean, there's a lot of people that are they have a hard time getting pregnant, but it's not anything new in the Bible. It's something that you see over and over again. And look what it says in verse 19, and they rose up early in the morning, early in worship before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. See, the Lord's going to remember the prayers that you pray. It's not like he's not going to hear you. He is going to hear you. The Lord always hears your prayers. Wherefore, it came to pass, when the time was come about that Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. The Bible says in James, you have not because you ask not. And sometimes we ask amiss. But like asking for a child, that's a good thing to ask for, isn't it? And so maybe sometimes we need to go to God before we go to medical science first. Go to God with your prayers. And, you know, you have not because you ask not, but there's no shame in having too many children. There's no shame. So you should want to have multiple children because that's what God wants for you. But, hey, if you're having trouble, go to the Lord in prayer. That's what Hannah did. And so number three also is that Hannah gave her children to the Lord. Once she had Samuel, which was granted to her because of her petition and because she prayed for him, we should raise our children for the Lord. And as a mother, you know, that's a Christian, that's obviously what God wants from you. Look at verse 21 in 1 Samuel. It says, and the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, and he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord established his word, so the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. So that goes back to our previous sermon. But so she was a breastfeeder also. But anyway, it says, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. So she prayed for Samuel. She prayed for this man-child. And then God gave her the petition. You know, but a lot of times people, they want kids, but they don't want to give them wholly to the Lord. And they're just afraid to give their children completely over to God. But look, you don't want your children to become an idol in your heart. And so don't be afraid to raise them in the ways of the Lord. You know, because look, if you say, you know what, I'm just afraid that they're gonna get hurt in this world, or they're gonna, you know, get persecuted later on, that's not your choice to make. That's something that it's up to God. It's up to you to leave them with the Lord. And here's the thing, God's actually lent them to you. God's actually lent your children to you. And she says she lent them to the Lord, but honestly, God is the one that gives us children. Children are a gift of God, aren't they? Look at Malachi chapter 2, verse 15. What is the purpose of children? Why God even wants us to have children? Obviously, he wants us to enjoy them, but ultimately, he has a goal in mind. Because if you think about things in the long term with God, what's the most important thing? Is that your children would be saved, right? Look at Malachi chapter 2, verse 15. It says, "And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed." What's the purpose of people getting married? So they can have children, and they can be fruitful and multiply, and that they might seek a godly seed. Just like Eve this morning, remember she got Seth, who replaced Abel as the godly seed in their family. And so it's important for us to understand that, hey, we're not supposed to deal treacherously with each other as husband and wife, and a man shouldn't just walk off and leave his wife, and a wife shouldn't walk off and leave her husband. You know, and while you can have children. It says, "Therefore, take heed to your spirit and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth." Look, we shouldn't be also trying to do some kind of family planning with, birth control and things like that. Right. You know, obviously God has a way to where you can space out your children. And I'm sure you've heard sermons about that before. But look, he wants a godly seed. And so if you're a Christian, and everybody in here is a Christian, right? Then what is God seeking? That you raise that child as a godly seed so they get saved and serve the Lord. So, you know, Hannah says, "I lent him to the Lord," which obviously God honored that. But in reality, he lent him to her. So she could raise a godly seed, right? So turn to Psalm 127, verse 3. Psalm 127, verse 3. See, the Bible teaches that children are the heritage of the Lord. Look at verse number 3. "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is" what? "His reward." So who are we lending? We're lending our children to God, but he actually lent them to us first. Because the fruit of the womb is his reward. And what is he seeking? A heritage. He wants them to be the heritage of the Lord, not some unsaved devil, not some unsaved person, not somebody that you never take to church or never raise in the ways of the Lord. But look, your children are going to grow up and they're going to be your friends later, hopefully, you know. And I know that this is like, they're my friends for, you know, I don't believe this, but they're my friends first and then my children second. No, they're your children first. And they're supposed to listen to you and obey you. But also, they can be your friends. And obviously, I love my children and they're my friends. But the Bible says in verse 4, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." And basically, your children are like your little tribe, you know, and they're supposed to have their parents' backs. You know, your children should have your back. But, you know, you got to train them that way. You got to train them to care about the things of God. If you go home and leave this building and you don't care about how your kids turn out, then shame on you. Because we're supposed to raise them to be an heritage for the Lord and His reward. His reward for giving you children is that they would you would bring back this godly seed to Him. And that your children would be saved. And so just know that the danger of walking away and quitting, you know, I just want to go back to my old life and all this other stuff. Which people do. Which Christians do all the time. And you know what? It ruins their kids' life. So if you want to ruin your kids' life, then go ahead and just quit church. Quit going to church. Quit raising them right. You know, you should be raising them to be God's heritage. That's what he lent them to you for. So God expects that godly seed, and that's the job of a Christian, is to train the next generation, right? And so Hannah gave her children to the Lord, but in reality, God gave her the child that she had vowed that vow for. So, and you're building an army of arrows and friends that when the going gets tough, do your kids have your back? Or are they going to just go off and have their kids, their friends' backs or other people's backs? You know, because if you don't teach them to be loyal and responsible, then they won't. But don't you want to look back on your life and say, you know what, my kids still serve the Lord. Maybe they're not perfect. Maybe I wasn't perfect in everything I did. But don't you want to look back and just say, hey, my kids are serving the Lord. That's the ultimate reward for, you know, for God, is that your kids are going to serve the Lord for the rest of their life. And so they're going to be the next generation of believers. You know, I think Justin came back earlier in this, between, I think it was in the first service, but he was like, I need you to take one of the little, I was to Miss Stephanie. We got our kids are like going back and forth on the piano. That's a blessing. You know, it's a blessing to have your children coming back and forth on the piano, or your kids leading songs, or your kids, you know, preaching or whatever they do, serving the Lord, going soul winning. That's what you want your kids out doing with you. You don't want them to just be like, I can't wait till I get out of this church. I can't wait till I turn 18 so I leave. That's what all the other churches is happening into those places. So why not raise up this generation? Look, I don't want this generation to go to waste, the generation of this church right here. Because I've watched a lot of these kids grow up in here. And I've seen them turn into soul winners. I've seen them turn, you know, nobody could play the piano when we first started this church. We had a one-handed piano player that played really soft, and then she moved away. And then it was like, hey, let's, all the kids started just like, you know, going off on the Steven Anderson. I think that's how everybody learned how to play. Who learned how to play the piano that way? Yeah, multiple people. Mia's not here, but she's wicked. No, I'm just kidding. But look, we train our kids, you know, and they cared and wanted to learn how to play the piano. And now we got multiple kids in here that can play the piano, multiple kids that can do multiple different things, and they can win souls. That's what we want. We want our kids to be that next generation so that when we, you know, get older and we can't go soul winning like we could back in the day, they're the ones that are taking up the mantle and going forward. So we need our kids to be the next generation of believers. And look, men can't have children. So it's important. Mothers are kind of important, aren't they? So it's a blessing to have children. Don't dread it. Don't think, I can't believe I'm pregnant again. That's what God wants. You know, it's a blessing. Some women can't even have children. And then people complain that I can't believe I'm pregnant again. It's like, think about the fact that it's a blessing. Amen. Because it is a blessing to have children. The Bible teaches so clear it's a blessing. Look at Genesis chapter 20, verse 17. Genesis chapter 20, verse 17. Now this is when, and we're going to learn about this when I get back to Genesis next time, but next weekend, but look at verse 17, Genesis 20. It says, so Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. So what happened before? Well, Abimelech was cursed by God, and he was like, you're a dead man if you don't give Abraham his wife back. Remember? And so what happened? Well, Look at verse 18. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. So what happened? Abraham prayed and healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. So what happened? God removed the curse that was on Abimelech, and part of that curse was that they couldn't have children. It's a curse to not be able to have children. It's something that's not good. It's not a blessing. You know what a blessing is? To have children. And you know what's really sad is when, you know, women could just have children, you know, it's just like, you know, the husband looks at them wrong and they're pregnant. And then there's people that really want to have kids and they can't have them. It's a blessing to have children, so count it as a blessing. So let's see, James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. The gift of children is from God, okay? And they're a good gift. Children are a good gift, amen? They're a blessing. And without children, the next generation will never come to pass. So it's important now in this generation and more than ever. Look, we teach to have big families. And sometimes it seems like a good idea for some people at the time, and then they kind of forget that it was a blessing. But hey, you make your blessings what you make them. You know, don't allow your blessings to become a curse because you're just not handling your children right.
Amen.
I mean, it's important. You know, obviously there's steps to doing everything. There's ways of navigating everything. And hey, you know, if you're having a hard time, then change something in your routine. Change something in your life. If you're just like feel trapped at home all the time, find out ways to not feel trapped and not be trapped. You know, if your children will listen to you, then you could probably take them places, huh? But if your children won't listen to you, if they're the ones that run out on the road, then you're going to have to change something in the way you're parenting. So number four, well, I want to talk about Jochebed, and that's Moses' mother. And Moses taught her son what she could while she could. Moses taught her son what she could while she could. And here's the thing, we're never promised tomorrow, are we? So your last day with your children, you don't know when that's going to be, do you? So what would you want your last day with your children to be like? Because Jochebed, she didn't get a lot of time with Moses. But the time that she did have, she made the most of it, didn't she? And was Moses a great man of God? Yes, he was. Look at Exodus chapter number 2. Jochebed taught her son Moses what she could. It says in Exodus chapter 2, 1, it says, and there went a man of the house of Levi, and he took a wife, a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. So for the first 3 months of Moses' life, he was hid. But she saw that he was a goodly child. She saw something in her child. And you know what? Most people, you should look at your kids, every kid you have, and say, this is a goodly child. Right? I mean, it's kind of weird to not think that. But, you know, obviously if they're, you know, they're colicky or, you know, whatever, it's kind of hard to feel that blessing sometimes because they're keeping you up all night and things like that. But Moses was a goodly child, you know. But we should look at all of our kids like that. And, you know, she had faith. She had faith that Moses, that the things that she did with Moses were going to have some sort of effect on him. Look at verse 3. It says, and when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done with him. So she wanted to see what was going to, so Miriam, his sister, kind of followed. You know, she put her son by faith in this little ark. She couldn't hold him, she couldn't hold off any longer. And so instead of just allowing him to die, she just was like, here you go, God. I'm going to make sure, I'm going to put him in your hands, And by faith, I'm just going to reach out by faith and do something extraordinary. And that's what she did. It says, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the river's edge. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew's children. Because remember, the Hebrew's children were supposed to be killed when they were born. The men children were supposed to be killed. But it says, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call thee to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. So by faith, she put Moses into the water, and God took care of him. And he found someone that would take care of him, even though it was illegal for her to actually have her own son. And so in hard times like this, in persecution, you got to make the most that you can with your children. You got to do what you can, because we don't know what tomorrow's going to be like. Look at the last 2 years. How much things have changed. And do you think it's going to get better, or is it going to get worse? It's going to get worse. And Moses and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. So not only did she get Moses back, but she got to nurse him, like the Bible commands, right? Like the Bible God wants us to do. And I will give thee thy wages. So not only did she get to breastfeed him and take care of him, but she also got paid for doing it. So see how God blessed the faithfulness of Jochebed? It says, and the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew. So, and it doesn't say how long she had Moses after that, but it says, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. So just that short time, just the time that Moses was breastfed as a child, and once he was weaned, he was given back to Pharaoh's daughter, which became his mother. Not his real mother, but his mother anyway. And so, but in that time, just think about what a great man Moses became. One of the greatest men in the whole Bible. And what did she do? Breastfed him. And who knows? Probably sang songs to him. Probably preached things to him, or just, you know, talked about things of faith. But we think, like in a family integrated church, that the kids aren't going to get something out of it, but they do get stuff out of it.
Yeah.
Whether they're sitting there fidgeting around or whatever, they're still getting something out of the service.
Right.
Are they going to soak in a whole hour-long sermon? Maybe not. But the fact that you're bringing your kids to church, you know, that's good. It's good to bring the children into the church. And it was good for Moses to be able to be raised by his real mother and breastfed and whatever else she did with him. But, you know, whatever else she did, it was a thing of faith. Because by faith, she put Moses into the water. And God spared Moses and then made him and rose him up to be a great man of God. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. So what is my point here is that we should take and spend our days with our children, and we need to realize that it could be your last day with them. So how are you going to spend those days with your children? You don't know how long you have with them. And I'm not trying to scare you or anything. I'm just saying that, you know, don't you want to put everything you can into your children while they're yours? While they're with you? And then on the day that they leave your home, that you gave everything that you could to them? Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment, by faith. But where did that faith come from? Where did that faith come from? Because who's the one that hid him for 3 months? Who's the one that put him in the water? Who's the one that saw he was a proper child and were not afraid of the king's commandment? Because this king was a tyrant and a sadist and a probably a psychopath reprobate. But it says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Wasn't he Pharaoh's daughter? I mean, the Pharaoh's daughter's son? Yes. But when he came to years, when it came time for him to make his decisions, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. You know, where did he get that from? His parents. His parents gave him that faith. His parents instilled that faith into him. Because they weren't afraid of the king's commandment either. And you know what? Moses wasn't either. Even though he wasn't even raised by her, somehow she got enough into him that when he came to years, he's like, you know what? I don't want this world. I don't care about being the prince of Egypt. I don't care about all the things that I've learned and all the riches I have. You know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to follow Christ. And through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. Where did Moses get this faith, though? It was instilled in him by his parents. And you know what? His parents didn't have very long with them. But what about you? You have your life with your children. Are you instilling everything that you can into your children? Are you teaching them the faith that you believe? If today was your last day with them, would you be satisfied with that? Would you be satisfied with the way that you raise your children? Would they grow up and say, you know what, I don't want to be part of this world. I want to be with the people of God. Moses got his faith because his parents instilled that into him. And it was an impact, even though it was a short time, it was an impact on his life enough to where he had the faith that they had also. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. See, if you have a short time, you know, they had a short time with him, but think about, you know, I think about this, that I feel like my time was short with my kids because your life is like a vapor. And like, I just remember like it was yesterday, just when my kids were little, you know? But you don't have that long with them. So do everything you can, because you don't want to look back and think back on it and think, man, I wish I would have done more. Deuteronomy 6 verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up." Sounds like all the time, doesn't it? When you're sitting down, when you're walking, when you're lying down, when you're rising up. It says, teach them diligently unto thy children. Why did he want that? Why did God command that for us to teach our children? We're supposed to teach them to love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might. And, you know, he wants us to teach these things to our children, all the commandments of the Lord. Why? So that we would raise a godly seed, so that they would have the faith that we have. And so what are you going to do with that little dash that you have with your kids, because they grow up faster than you think? I always say that that I always put kids at the same age as when they first started the church. And it's kind of true. I do think that way. But I know they're older. But still, I just can't help but think of them that age. But before you know it, they're all sprouted up. Look at Zakiah. You know, little peewee when he first came here. And now he's like taller than Justin, I think, almost. Is he taller than Justin? Are you taller than your dad? Yeah, see? You still can't take him, though, so don't try. But... But I just think about the kids that I've seen grow up in this church already, and we haven't even been here that long, but they grow old fast. And so enjoy the time, mothers, with your children that you can, and enjoy the fact that you can stay home with them. You know, if you can stay home with your children, you've got a blessing. And hey, dads, make sure you facilitate your wife being able to be a godly mother to your children. So the last point I have is I want to talk about Lois and Eunice. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Lois and Eunice, taught Timothy to be saved. So, you know, obviously we want to teach everything, we want to teach the Bible to our kids, we want to teach the commandments, but, you know, you can teach people everything, but if you never teach them how to get saved, you know, they need to get saved. And so, hey, moms, you have a great opportunity. I mean, think about Pastor Anderson always talks about his testimony is that he was saved when he was 6 years old by his mom. And look at the impact that he's had in this world. I mean, people are getting saved when they're getting saved by videos that he put out when he's not even preaching. I mean, the impact of one person's life that you get saved can mean everything. And obviously, it's not up to me to get your kids saved. It's not up to anybody else in this church to get your kids saved. The number one person that should be trying to get kids saved is their own parents. And moms, you have a very big advantage over everybody else to be able to get your kids saved. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Wherefore I put thee into remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." See, salvation is faith to faith, the Bible says. Every person has someone that gets them saved. Everyone has a minister by whom they believe. And so, moms, I would just say this to you. You have a big influence with your children, so use that influence to get them to get your kids saved. Now, I'm not saying it's only up to you, okay? I'm just saying it's Mother's Day, okay? I'm trying to help the moms here. But what good is it to gain the whole world and lose your own children's souls? You know, what good is it to gain the world and lose your own soul, but what good is it to gain the whole world and lose your children's souls? You know, you can tear down the Bible talks about how a woman can tear down her house with her own hands. So, and you don't want to be a woman that tears down your house with your own hands. You want to be a woman that builds your house. You want to be a woman that builds the faith of your children. And the most important thing you can do is get your children saved. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 3. See, Timothy had a grandmother who was saved. Her name was Lois. Timothy had a mother named Eunice that was saved. And so they had an effect upon Timothy, and the Apostle Paul is talking about it here for everybody to see. It's important, you know, grandmas. I'm going to talk to grandmas for a minute because I have Grandma Sherry back there. Grandma Sheila. Is there any other grandmas in here? Anybody that's just listening, grandmas can have a profound effect on their grandchildren. And so it's important that, hey, you know, don't be like one of these boomer types when you get older and just be like, well, I raised my kids. You know, and then all you do is just spoil the other kids and you never spend time with them. We need to spend time with our grandkids. But grandmas, you can have a profound effect on your children and on your grandchildren. And apparently Lois had an effect, effect of faith. And then her daughter was saved, Eunice. And then Timothy gets saved. The Bible says, again, it's faith to faith. Now look at Titus 2:3. It says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." So when, ladies, when you get older, you know, it's a responsibility of the older women to teach the other women to be these types of people, this type of Christian. It says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. And so it's important for any lady in the church that's older can have that effect. But, you know, younger women need help sometimes. You know, sometimes it is hard navigating all these children and all this responsibility, and it can be overwhelming. But it's a good older lady that's, or an aged woman that's already raised children, you can be a good influence on other mothers in this church or other young ladies in this church. And what do we want them to teach them to love their husbands? Why would you have to teach someone to love their husbands? Why would you have to teach someone to love their children? Because sometimes it's hard. Some people just don't have that natural affection. It's a little harder for them. But to me, it just would be weird to say, well, nobody has to teach me to love my kids. But some people have to have that. Hey, and how do you teach them to love them? Well, keep them in church. Keep them, keep teaching them and helping them learn the Bible. It says to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Not keepers somewhere else, keepers at home. Good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You know what, elder ladies, you can help the younger ladies in this church by teaching them these things. To love their children, to love their husbands, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Good, obedient to their own husbands. Hey, keepers at home, there's nothing wrong with that. That shouldn't be like a stigma or like, you're always talking about being a keeper at home. Yeah, because that's what God wants you to do. That's what God's called you to do. Why would you, that's the ultimate thing that you could do. Have you ever heard that saying that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world? It's kind of true. It's kind of true because women have a big influence. Mothers have a big influence on what their kids turn out to be like. Obviously you need the man and the wife, the husband and the wife in the home, but wives have a special responsibility because, first of all, men can't have children, so by themselves anyway. But the wives bear the children. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. We only got a few more minutes left here. Just hang on. I feel like Alex turned the heat on him or something. Just kidding. I got him trained. You see how you train? No, just kidding. Anyway, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14 says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. Now, I put that in there because the will of God is that younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, be keepers at home, right? Give none occasion to speak to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. So how would you turn aside after Satan? Well, don't do those things. Just say, you know what? I don't care about my kids. I don't love my husband. I'm done. I just can't get along with them. You better learn to get along with them because you know what? Your children's eternity is on the line. Because you can, like I said, you could tear down your house with your own hands, and that's not something that you want to have on you, right? You want to, I'm not even going to go to Proverbs 31, but Proverbs 30, like I believe Job is the man that we should look at to like be the, what a man should be like. Like he's the example that we should look to. Obviously Christ is the biggest example, but Job as a regular human being was probably the best man besides John the Baptist that ever walked the face of the planet. And he's a good example for us, but for wives or women or mothers would be Proverbs 31. But do you want to be a Proverbs 31 wife or a Facebook, Instagram woman? Right. Don't spend so much time on social media that you aren't not even spending time with your own children. Amen. So, and I'm not saying don't ever go on social media, okay? Everybody does that, it seems like, to a certain extent. But, don't spend so much time on social media that you forget about your kids, okay? Matthew chapter, and what's the ultimate goal here? Is that in the end, when it's time for everything to be reckoned, and Jesus is given rewards, moms are going to get a lot of rewards. Moms are going to get a lot of rewards when they're doing what's right and true and good wives and the things that God has called them to do. Great soul winners, training children. I mean, there's a lot of great rewards that you're going to be able to enjoy. At the end of your life, don't you want the Lord to be happy and pleased with the way you raised your children and the way you ran your home and the way you were with your husband? I think so. Let's look at one last verse here. Matthew chapter 25, verse 20. Matthew chapter 25, verse 20. In the end of our lives, see, God gives us a certain amount of talents. And this is like the parable of the talents. And so don't you think your children is like would be like a talent, something that you should invest in, something that you should invest in the Lord with? Look at verse 20. It says, and so he that hath received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And obviously, this is a parable, but I think that it's a true parable to, you know, for us to think about, is that God's going to give us lots of things that we can invest in, and our children are one of those things, and they're talents that He gives us, and He lets us borrow those children, and He wants us to train them and raise them for Him. And at the end of our lives, don't you want to be able to say about your children, you want the Lord to say about you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. And God's going to give you rewards. You know, if your children all turn out to be saved, or your children, you know, whatever it is they do, that's an investment that God allowed you. It's talents that He gave into your hands. And He's lending those things to you. And you know what? He expects his results back from that, not for you to bury them into the ground. He wants you to make investments. Make investments in your children. And God will reward you and bless you for those things. And at the end of your life, you know what you're not going to say? Man, I wish I would have stayed working at Pizza Hut. Man, I wish I would have just, you know, stayed being a nurse. I would have been way more rewarding. You know, I wish I would have just stopped going to church and lived my life however I wanted to. That's not what you're going to say. You're going to say, you know what? I'm so glad that I raised my kids for the Lord. I'm so glad that I invested in them. And I'm glad all my kids are saved. And I'm glad that they're serving the Lord and that their children are serving the Lord. That's what you're going to want to say at the end of your life. So hopefully this was a help to you. So just to recap, mothers should also be disciplining too. You know, allow God to open your womb by prayer. Give your children to the Lord. They're His anyway. And it's a mother's responsibility to teach her children. And it's also your responsibility to get your kids saved. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for all the great mothers in this room. Lord, I just pray that you'd bless them and, Lord, help them to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And, Lord, I pray that you just help us as husbands and dads to be a great support to them and, Lord, to praise them for the great things that they do in their life and with their children. And I pray that you just help us as families, Lord. I pray that you just help the families in this church, Lord, because there's so many attacks against the family. I just pray that you would bless this church and all the families in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Turn to page 319 in your green hymnal. Page 319, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Page 319, sing it out on the first.
I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to Thee. Just a closer is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
life is o'er. Time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Good singing, Brother Robert. Will you dismiss us?